I am here with Brother Gary Adna Ames, who is a professor on campus in the accounting department. And we're here today and would love to just hear a little bit about you and kind of your thoughts about going into being asked to be the devotional speaker.
Well, Sister Ganaway came to my office, and I'm certain, like probably every speaker, they said I would be a bad choice for a variety of reasons. And I won't go into the reasons, but she was used to that, and so she didn't take no for an answer. I'm happy to do it, and the hardest part has been writing the talk out, because I don't normally write my messages out, but I think that's not uncommon for a lot of people. So having to write it out to get it on a teleprompter was a challenging experience, but it's been a good experience.
That's awesome. And then, so are you from this area, or where are you from?
No, I actually grew up in Arizona. I'm an Arizona native, and then I was not active in the church until I was almost 16 and got active, and my life, of course, has been different since then. My topic on following prophetic counsel, I think back to when I was about 18 and President Kimball said every young man that is worthy should go on a mission, and I was not well-grounded in the doctrine, but I had enough of a testimony, and I knew President Kimball. I was a prophet, and I thought, well, I guess I had to go on a mission, and I probably would never be sent now by a stake president based on my knowledge of the gospel and the doctrine, but I went, and it totally changed my life, and I could share many instances where following prophetic counsel has, in some cases, miraculously changed my life.
That's awesome. I think a lot of people are going to appreciate hearing that little bit of a story of coming back to the church and listening to the prophet. We definitely need that now. I guess when you were deciding your topic, did you think about the students and kind of what they're going through in today, or what kind of led you to that topic?
You know, I was invited to speak, I think it was last October, maybe it was November, sometime last semester. And interestingly, I had a host of thoughts come to my mind, and they all seemed to coalesce around the importance of following Latter-day prophets especially. I've always, since I've been active, I've always enjoyed stories in the scriptures and church history of prophetic teachings and those miraculous times. And the Old Testament especially is loaded with stories of very violent, tragic instances when people did not follow prophets, which are fun to talk about and fun to share in. It's just become abundantly clear to me the older I've gotten, there's absolutely no safety in ignoring the prophets or thinking you know better than a prophet. They are seers. We sustain them as seers, which literally means we believe they see the future. President Packer, Boyd K. Packer, once said that the prophets see the future, but they're not always permitted to tell us what they see, but they are often permitted to warn us. And so when we hear the prophets give us counsel, I'm confident that often it's because of things they know are coming down the road.
I definitely think that's something that we have to take in consideration. I don't think they're just throwing darts at a dartboard and saying, you know, this is what we need to watch out for. Yeah. I got a little bio, and it showed, you know, the different universities that you've had the opportunity to work at.
Right.
And I'm sure while you're working there, you saw students who really didn't have, well, I guess they had access to the prophet's words, but it's a little different than here, you know, they're not getting it in classes and in devotionals.
Right.
What are some of the differences that you've seen, you know, working at different universities and the students who have, you know, more prominent access to what the prophets are saying?
After my mission, I went to BYU as a student and bumbled into accounting, frankly, and I was blessed to have various teachers that at different points in my academic career recommend that I get a master's degree. And then when I was graduating from there, I had a professor recommended that I get a PhD. And so I went to the University of Georgia. So I taught at Georgia while I was in my doctoral program. A wonderful experience, terrific university, good environment. I loved the church down there. It became part of our family, actually. It was just one ward at the time. Now there's a stake there, and I was married at the time, and my wife and I went there. So I taught there, and then we left, and looking back again as a much older man, I recognize the Lord really has directed my path, even though I didn't recognize it at the time. We went to the University of Nebraska. Again, a wonderful place, good school, and left there to go to Illinois. Same thing. And then ended up here. And I'll get to your question. But I came out to interview here. I think it was February, and the weather was awful, of course, like it often is in Rexburg. But it was also very cold in Illinois. And I called my wife that night, and she said, "So what do you think?" And I said, "I really want this job." And she said, "Why?" And I said, "I don't know. I just like it here. And I enjoyed the other places I've taught. I've had great colleagues, wonderful experiences. But the reality is, I'm asked on occasion where I've enjoyed teaching the most, and there's no question the answer is here." And then I usually follow up, "Why here?" And the first answer is because I like the students. I think the students here are different in many ways because they have the gospel. I'm saddened when I see students here who do not take advantage of the blessings of the gospel. Unfortunately, this is no news, but there are students that attend here that don't really, they're not active in the church. They're not active in the gospel. They might be active in the church, actually, but they may not be active in the gospel. And then there are students, of course, that will whine and complain about various things that are just a part of college life. And I think you have no idea what it's like here. Students here get free tutors. They get free, we have an accounting lab for the accounting students. The university bends over backward to help students here. And that's not the case at other universities. And the church, of course, heavily subsidizes students' education. And a large part of that, my understanding, is because they're trying to develop disciples here. They're not just trying to give students here an education. And fortunately, from my experience, the vast majority of students get that. They have testimonies, and it's a pleasure that I can discuss religion in class, in an accounting class. We can discuss the Book of Mormon. We can discuss General Conference. We can discuss prophets and so on. And it's a real treat when students will share their thoughts and testimonies about the gospel, about their mission experiences, and about prophets.
I love that. Had you been to Rexburg before, or had you?
When I came here to interview, it was the very first time I'd ever been in Rexburg.
Really?
I'd been to Idaho. Both of my parents are from Pocatello, Blackfoot area, and so we had visited. But I'd never been to Idaho before. Well, it was cold, of course, and I was not here for a very long period of time. And I didn't have much interaction with the students when I was here, other than just, I was given some time just to walk around campus when I was not in interviews. And I was impressed with how friendly students were, truly. Mm. They would just say hi. And it's just become second nature to expect that now as I'm walking around campus. But my colleagues were also, in addition to being just delighted with the students, I've never taught anywhere where I think my colleagues and I are as unified. I often tell people, if there are any cliques in the accounting department, I'm not involved in them. My colleagues have left me out. It's very wonderful that way.
That's an interesting point, because I don't think as students we think about that. I think we just see students, teachers, but I'm sure that's, you know, we always see that there's always teachers that are eager to work here, or there's people, they talk about how excited they were to get a job here. And I hope that can translate over to the students, so we can realize how lucky we are to be here.
I hope so, too. I share that on occasion in class when I will tell students, if you're complaining about being here, you just don't understand what a blessing it is to be in this kind of an environment with. In addition to my colleagues in the department, I think there's a feeling of unity generally with the administration. And that's not always the case at other universities. It is often the case where there is an adversarial relationship between the faculty and the administration. Not all universities, but
interesting
enough.
Did you see that at the other university? I don't want to say bad things about the universities, but I guess more of a, I don't know.
I saw some, and I probably should not go into any specifics.
No, I understand. So another question I did have for you that I saw that was interesting was, in your devotional address, you'll be talking a little bit about protections from the adversary. which is so essential for us here, at least at college. We're living on our own and, you know, trying to figure out our own lives and figure out what's going on. And there's a lot of quotes on general authorities, mm-hmm. and things in there where they basically are, you know, giving suggestions or basically they're giving us, you know, the roadmap to avoid certain temptations. I guess what other advice would you give people or students for protection?
You know, it was a popular movie 30 plus years ago. And I asked my students, many of them have seen it, it's called Raiders of the Lost Ark. And there's a scene in the movie, and I was mentioning this to my wife, that this scene would actually be kind of a metaphor for my devotional address, but it wouldn't be appropriate in the BYU Eye Center. There's a scene, you may be familiar with it, where the hero of the movie, Harrison Ford, has just been through a battle, and he's tired and he's sore, and he turns around, and there's another enemy standing there, and the enemy flashes a sword and swings it around. Looks tremendously ominous, looks very frightening. And the scene, of course, ends humorously when Harrison Ford pulls out a gun and just shoots him. And that's the end. And I think in many ways that frankly is somewhat of a metaphor for what we're dealing with. President Nelson said Satan's influence is increasing exponentially, which is a frightening thought. But the reality is the Lord has given us weapons to defend ourselves and to fight against that are almost like being able to pull a gun out and shoot somebody that's got a sword. We frankly, if we follow the Lord's counsel, we are overmatching Satan. He doesn't have a chance against us. Doesn't mean we won't take casualties and we won't get injured along the way necessarily. But there's no question who's going to win if we're on the right team.
There's definitely something that is, I think, we can see the Lord's work is hastening, and it's so essential to have now. My last question for you is, you had a quote in there that I absolutely loved, and I'm going to share it, and I hope it doesn't take it away from the address. But in there, and you can kind of, if you want to explain the quote and what it's from and why you put it in there, but it's, are we willing to sit on our thrones and expect God will protect us because of his goodness? I loved that quote. It really jumped out to me.
Well, you're probably aware that comes from the end of the Book of Alma when Captain Moroni he's just about had enough of the war. He feels like the government's not providing the resources they need to effectively fight the war, and he sends a blistering letter to the governor of the land, Pahoran, which in many governments today would be cause for insubordination and dismissal. And he chastises Pahoran because he doesn't understand what Pahoran's dealing with. And he asks Pahoran, he says, do you think it's possible for us to just sit on our thrones and God will protect us because of his goodness and we don't make use of the resources he's given us, the weapons he's given us? And he says, if you think this, you're nuts, in our language. And that's the same with us. If we think that we can just rely on the Lord's goodness and not follow the counsel, not do the things that we have been counseled to do, and even in some cases where the prophets have pleaded with us to do things, if we think we can ignore that and the Lord is still going to provide us with the massive protection that he could, I think in the same way that Moroni said, that it's not going to happen, that we just will not, we won't take advantage of the blessings and the weapons we've given. It'd be kind of like Harrison Ford when he sees the guy swinging the sword around, and he decides instead of pulling out his gun, he decides he's going to wrestle him or get into a sword fight with him. It's just silly. We have been given great ways to protect ourselves and to be safe in the Lord's kingdom. And he expects us to make use of those blessings.
I love that. Well, I think your address is going to ring really well with the students. And we wish you luck, and we thank you for coming in and doing this with us.
Thank you very much. I have to tell you that I read the discussion board comments, and I was very touched by many of the comments from students in both sides of this equation. Some mentioned ways that they'd followed the counsel, been blessed. Others would share instances when they ignored the counsel at first and then later on went back and followed the counsel. And in both cases, they would comment on how blessed they had been, and they could see the blessings. And it's no surprise. The Lord is in charge of the whole show.
He is. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much.
JD, thanks.
Appreciate it.